Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots, off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the... All right, game number 5 of the Stanley Cup Final is coming at you in just about 90 minutes or so. For the Florida Panthers, it is an opportunity to win the franchise's first ever Stanley Cup championship. For the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid, it is an opportunity to force a game 6 back on home ice Friday evening in Edmonton. So that's what's at stake in just about 90 minutes or so. We are going to dive deep, and I mean deep, into the 3 instances this season under head coach Chris Knobloch that the Oilers lost 3 games in a row, their responses, who they beat, and what it means for the Stanley Cup Final moving forward. We're also going to dig into a philosophical question. Yesterday, in my great observations, I said Connor McDavid has re-entered the Conn Smythe Trophy picture. And I said it because he broke a Wayne Gretzky record that many people expected would never, ever be broken. Connor McDavid, 32 assists in a playoff year, one better than Wayne Gretzky, and he has potentially 3 more games to go. Also, McDavid is just 9 points back of Wayne Gretzky's all-time points record in a playoff year. If this team forces Game 7, McDavid might be the most prolific point producer in a playoff year in hockey history. Better than Gretzky, better than Lemieux, better than Bobby Orr, Mike Bossy, go down the list, pick your poison, doesn't matter. That's what McDavid is sitting on right now, so we're going to dig into that philosophical debate in hour number 2. We've also got one-timers, news of buyouts, all of that stuff is hitting your airwaves in just a little bit. But right now, I want to dig into a topic that I find to be incredibly interesting. And that topic is simply this. The Edmonton Oilers have been in this position before, and they've done incredibly well. They have managed to put together lengthy win streaks after dropping 3 games in a row under head coach Chris Knobloch. I'm going to take you through each one of those win streaks individually. Chapman, anytime you want to jump in, just let me know. But here is the run of the mill when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers and dropping 3 games in a row. It happened 3 times in the regular season under Chris Knobloch that the Oilers lost 3 consecutive games, 3 games in a row. The first time it happened, the Oilers responded with 8 straight wins. They outscored their opponents 39-13 in that stretch. Only went to overtime 1 time. So as far as these wins go, they were pretty much no-doubters. 8 in a row for the Edmonton Oilers. Here's who they beat. They beat the Washington Capitals, the Anaheim Ducks, the Vegas Golden Knights. That was the overtime game. Winnipeg, Carolina, Minnesota, New Jersey, and Chicago. If you're keeping track at home, 4 of the 8, 50%, were teams that made the playoffs. Washington, Vegas, Winnipeg, Carolina. Now, if you're looking beyond just making the playoffs, of those 4 playoff teams, only one of them, Carolina, made it out of the first round. I would make the argument that the Golden Knights would have made it out of the first round if they didn't have to play the Dallas Stars in the first round, but that's another topic for another day. Here's what's interesting about that. The Oilers then followed up that 8-game win streak with a 3-game losing streak. So lose 3 games, win 8 games, lose 3 more games. And by the way, just something to keep in mind, during that 8-game win streak, the Edmonton Oilers won 3 consecutive games against playoff teams. Vegas, Winnipeg, Carolina. They didn't win 4. And in order for the Oilers to push this to a Game 7 and win the Stanley Cup, they'll have to beat a playoff team in the Florida Panthers 4 games in a row. They didn't do it in the 8-game win streak. So let's talk about what happened after that. They drop 8 games, or they win 8 games, they drop 3 in a row, and then they follow it up with an absolute gauntlet of mediocre teams. A 16-game win streak for the Edmonton Oilers that spanned from late December through the All-Star break. They outscored their opponents 62-24 in that stretch. I'm going to reiterate that. 62-24. This is who they beat. New Jersey Devils, the New York Rangers, San Jose, Los Angeles, Anaheim, Philadelphia, Ottawa, Chicago, Detroit, Montreal, Toronto, Seattle, Calgary, Columbus, Chicago, Nashville. They only went beyond regulation 3 times in those 16 games. It was a dominant stretch. However, as was the case in the 8-game win streak, only 4 teams out of those 15 teams, because they played Chicago twice, 4 out of the 15 playoff teams, teams that made the playoffs, the Rangers, the Kings, Toronto, and Nashville. And again, if we're keeping track at home beyond just making the playoffs, only one of those teams made it beyond the first round. That was the New York Rangers. The Kings, Toronto, Nashville all lost in the first round. So when you look at those two stretches in and of themselves, that is 24 games. 24 games, 24 wins for the Edmonton Oilers. Of those 24 wins, only 8 came against playoff teams. And of those 8 playoff teams, only 2 of them made it beyond the first round. Judge that how you will. So then later on in the month of February, the Edmonton Oilers, for the 3rd time this season, dropped 3 games in a row. How do they respond? Simply with a 5-game win streak. In the 5 games, they outscored their opponents 17-7. They beat LA, St. Louis, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Boston. Just 2 of those 5 teams, LA and Boston, made the playoffs. And they went to overtime twice, so they were closer games. It was a closer stretch for the Oilers, but they still win 5 in a row. Did they, during that stretch, beat playoff teams 4 games consecutively in a row? No, they didn't. And if you're wondering about the 16-game win streak, they didn't do that either. So at no point in time did the Edmonton Oilers, over the course of those 3 individual winning streaks that spanned 29 games total, when you add up all the wins, at no point in that stretch did they beat playoff teams 4 games in a row. 3 games in a row, but not 4 games in a row. So why am I doing this? Why am I digging into this? Why does this matter? Why is it important? Well, it's important for a number of reasons. The first is that the Oilers, Chris Knobloch, has to go to his team and say, listen, we've done this before. Listen, every time we have dropped 3 games in a row, we have responded by winning at least 5 games in a row. Every single time we have fallen behind the way that we did in this series, we have been able to respond, and we have been able to win, and we have been able to do it in convincing fashion. The fact that the Oilers put 8 on the board and essentially made up the entire series goal differential in 1 game is not insignificant in this situation. If you're Chris Knobloch, if you're trying to rally your troops, if you're trying to get your locker room to believe that this can happen, that you can do this, that you can force a game six and then a game seven and then actually win the thing, you have to double down and focus in on what you've done before. Now, it becomes important for the Florida Panthers because when you look at the Oilers and you look at those win streaks and you look at the teams that they beat, all you got to do is say, well, we're better than all of them. And you'd be right. Think about it from this perspective. Remember back to the playoff teams in the win streak for the Edmonton Oilers. You had Carolina and you had the New York Rangers. You want to know who beat those two teams? The Florida Panthers. If you're Florida looking at this, you know you are better than at least 95 to 97% of the teams that the Oilers were able to run over in the 8-game win streak, the 16-game win streak, and the 5-game win streak. If you're the Florida Panthers, you know that you are not the Los Angeles Kings. You are not the Chicago Blackhawks. You are not the New Jersey Devils. You know you're better than that. And then you have to factor in that the Edmonton Oilers at no point in time during this season have they beaten a playoff team 4 games in a row or a collection of playoff teams 4 games in a row. They haven't done it. So as much as the Oilers are going to believe in what they've done, as much as the Oilers are going to believe in what they have accomplished in an 8-game win streak and a 16-game win streak and a 5-game win streak, the fact of the matter is the Oilers have not done this year what they are endeavoring to do right now. The Oilers have not beaten a playoff team 4 games in a row. They've beaten playoff teams 4 games out of 7, but they have not beaten playoff teams 4 consecutive games. And so if you're Paul Maurice, you dig into that. If you're Paul Maurice, you point out that there is a big difference, a humongous, meteoric difference in beating Nashville, Chicago, St. Louis, Anaheim than it is to beat the Florida Panthers 4 games in a row. I bring all this up to say this. What's in front of the Edmonton Oilers is monumental. Beating the Florida Panthers 4 games in a row might be infinitely harder. Not might be, it will be infinitely harder than winning 16 games in a row from December to February against 15 teams, 11 of which aren't playoff teams. Winning against the Panthers, beating this team 3 more times to win the Stanley Cup is a monumental task. And I know it's only 4 games. And I know that they've been able to do that before. But not in this scenario, not in this circumstance, and not against a team the caliber of Florida. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I will say this, though. If the Edmonton Oilers beat Florida tonight and force Game 6, the narrative will shift in this series. The narrative will shift of where the pressure lies, and it will firmly come off the Oilers to keep their season alive and focus in on Florida being just another victim in the machine that is Edmonton when they get on a roll and start to put together win streaks. I would say, though, I would caution you that you have to take the totality of the teams that they beat, the caliber of opponent, and understand that the Florida Panthers are better than every single team the Oilers beat over those 29 games. Chapman, I bring this all to the table to say that even if the Florida Panthers lose tonight, the Oilers still have to be perfect for 2 more games. The Oilers still have to put together the right game plan two more times. The Oilers still have to come up with the right adjustments, the right modifications to get to Bob, to break down the defensive structure of the Panthers, and to find a way to win. Just because the Oilers have done it before against non-playoff teams, it does not mean they'll be able to do it right now in this spot against one of the best teams in the league over the last 2 years in the Florida Panthers.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, like you mentioned, you go through the list of the teams that were in that those win streaks, and look, not to take anything away from the win streaks, to put together 16 wins in a row, I don't care who you're beating, it's impressive. You put together an 8-game win streak, it's impressive. But you also have to take a deep dive into, like you did, into, well, who are they beating? I mean, you rattled off a lot of bad teams in those win streaks, you know, and then even the playoff teams, you rattled off teams that haven't been playing hockey in 2 months, like the Maple Leafs, like the Predators. So I think on its surface, the win streaks are extremely impressive. But when you take that deep dive, you're like, you know, if it was so easy, everyone would do it. But the schedule also broke right for these teams. Like when you were rattling off who they beat, I'm like, meh. Oh, New York Rangers, there's a good team. Golden Knights. Yeah, they probably would have had a deeper run if they didn't play the Dallas Stars. Other than that, it's like, it's not really a lot of high caliber teams that were involved in what they put together. But you know, you mentioned they have to put together those you know, the right game plan. They have to figure out Bobrovsky. Well, this is where it gets difficult, because you look at Bobrovsky's track record in these playoffs, and way back against the Lightning, I believe it was game 3, they gave up 6 goals. What did Bobrovsky do the following game? Gave up 1 goal, closed out the Tampa Bay Lightning. He lost game 1 to the Boston Bruins, gave up 4 goals in that game. How did he follow? 1 goal, 2 goals, 2 goals, 2 goals, 1 goal, no goals, 2 goals. Pretty impressive. Gave up 5 goals against the Rangers. Followed up 2 goals, 2 goals, 1 goal, no goals, 1 goal, 3 goals, and then gave up 5 goals on Saturday. So the track record for Sergei Bobrovsky in these playoffs on nights when he gave up a lot of goals, I mean, you could go back last year too. The proof is kind of in the pudding. He had a game where, you know, he gave up 4 goals, followed up 2 goals. I mean, the guy has found ways to get the job done in these playoffs. And I think him giving up 5 goals again in back-to-back starts, it just does not seem very, very likely. Like, I think if you're the Oilers, you're going to have to win this one. And if you want to win it, you're going to have to grind it out. Like, I don't think you're going to go in to Sunrise and put up 4 or 5 goals on the board and think that you're winning this game 5-1. Like, if you're going to win this game, you're going to have to get – you're going to have to beat the very best Sergei Bobrovsky you're probably going to see, because he's coming off a loss, a bad loss, where he was terrible. The opportunity to raise the Stanley Cup at home in front of your fans. Like, if you're Florida – like, I always harken back to what Sean Burke said to me last year after they lost game 4 in Florida and they came back to Vegas. And he made the comment to me, like, I threw my stuff on you know, the floor when I got home, and I said, you know what, I'm not packing again. I'm done. And I'm guessing that was true of a lot of these players on the Golden Knights last year. When they got home from Sunrise following game 4, they said, you know what, we are not getting on another plane this year to travel as a team. We are winning this here. We're ending it. We're finishing this season on a high note in front of our fans by raising the Stanley Cup. And I think that's the mentality. Look, the Florida Panthers are a winning hockey team. Paul Maurice is a winning coach. Mm-hmm. He's brought a winning culture to that organization. Matthew Tkachuk has brought a winning culture to that team. Sasha Barkov has always been an excellent player, excellent leader. This team is going to rebound. They are going to respond. The question I have is, can Edmonton follow up Saturday night with another performance as good against that team as they're going to need to win this game tonight? And I just don't think it's possible.
Why don't you think it's possible?
Because I think the Panthers are too good. I think the Panthers are the better team. I think they have the better goalie. I think they have better depth, despite the fact that the Oilers' depth has shown up in this series. And I think they have more hunger. Like, and I know that's such a cheesy thing to say, but this team lost. Like, they lost last year. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Not only losing last year, but being up 3-0 and then losing the Stanley Cup. You lose it in back-to-back years, and the second year in the most devastating way possible, you become a footnote in history. They don't want that.
It would be catastrophic, right?
I think it would completely destroy the franchise. Like, I don't think there's any rebounding.
Well, I don't
from
know that.
In its current.
No, hold on. No. Hold on. You can rebound. You can come back. Like, they're not gonna be a bad hockey team next year.
No, but I don't think they would be able to.
It would be catastrophic. It would be catastrophic in terms of this team, this organization, and their arc over the last 5 years, right? Like, you think about the Florida Panthers, and we've talked about this at length quite a bit. You think about this franchise, you think about this organization, while the Tampa Bay Lightning were winning Stanley Cups, while the Tampa Bay Lightning were building something, the question when it came to Florida is, if Tampa could do it, why can't you, right? If Tampa can sell out their building, why can't you? If they can put a good product on the ice, why can't you? If they can win championships and take advantage of being a no state tax place to play, and the weather and all of it, every advantage that Tampa had, Florida also had, but they were never able to maximize it. They were never able to put it to their advantage. And then Bill Zito comes in and he builds something and he makes some brash trades and he builds this team into a contender. But the thing you don't want to become now, if you're Florida, is the contender that can't get it done. You don't want to be the San Jose Sharks 2.0. You just don't. And I think it would be catastrophic in that the aura of invincibility that the Florida Panthers have been able to build up over the last 14 months, the ability for this team to go from little brother to big brother to knocking on the door of winning championships, if they cannot get it done, if they let this slip away, that's going to be tarnished, and you're going to have fans that just will never believe they could get it done when it matters the most.
Well, I think the players will believe that too. You know, it's you have two of the next three games potentially at home. If you were to lose four straight, including two at home, with an opportunity to close out the Stanley Cup, I just don't know how you rebound from that. And I don't know mentally how the players rebound from that. I mean, it would be, as you mentioned, catastrophic. I can't see them in this current incarnation of the franchise getting any closer to this if they were to not win this series. I think they're going to win this series. I think they're going to close it out tonight because, like I said, I think the Panthers are the better team. I think they're at home. And I think Bobrovsky's a better goalie. Like, he's an elite goalie, especially in the playoffs. He's got the hardware to prove it in the Vezina's trophies. So I just think it's kind of a moot point that we're talking about me bringing up that they could potentially lose a series. They're not going to lose a series. I'm very confident that this team is going to win the Stanley Cup. It just doesn't.
Hold on. No. Stop. How confident are you? Like, are you going to guarantee it? Are you going to throw the Mark Messier guarantee?
No, because
like, they will win tonight.
I don't do radio in Sunrise, Florida. I'm not a member of the Panthers organization, so I'm not going to go out there and make guarantees. I mean, I don't have any money in the game.
I'm not asking for you to make a guarantee.
If you ask me on a scale of 1 to 10,
if
you ask me on a scale of 1 to 10, will the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup? I'm going to tell you it's a 10. I'm that confident that they will win. And I'm very confident that they win tonight. Like probably 8.5, 9 that they win tonight.
Okay,
I just think they were embarrassed.
Hold on. Chapman, let's go through this. You are confident that they are going to win the Stanley Cup. You are, what, 9 out of 10 confident? Like, you are right there 90% of the way that you believe they're going to win. Okay. You're 85% certain they're going to win tonight?
Yes.
Okay. If they do not win tonight, what's your percentage on that, on the idea that they'll win Game 6?
I would say winning Game 6, my confidence, you know, it's funny because I feel less confident that they would win a Game 6 than I do that they would win a Game 7. I think they'll win a Game 7. I just don't see them losing two games at home in this series. So, like, if they lose tonight...
85% Game... 85% Game 5. What's your percentage on Game 6?
I think I'm 50-50 on Game 6. And then it goes back up to about 75-80 for Game 7.
At no point are you a 9 out of 10 on this.
No, I said
you're 95%. You're 95% certain that they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
I was a 10 out of 10 that they were going to win the series. I said I was about 85-90% that they would win today.
Then you should be 100% that they're going to win Game 7. If you're 85% that they win tonight, 50% that they win Game 6,
because
if you're 100% certain that they're going to win this series, you should be 100% certain they'll win Game 7.
Game 7, you know what? It's one bad bounce. You know, you could lose on a bad bounce. So I'm still very confident that they're going to win this series. Like I said, I don't think they lose two games at home. I just don't see it happening.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't either, but I will say that I'm a little bit more uncomfortable here. And I don't really know why that is. I feel like the Panthers are the better team. But when you start to think about this series and what we have seen through four games, the Oilers' good stretches have been really good. The Panthers' good stretches have been really, really good in terms of production. But it hasn't been the forecheck onslaught that I expected it to be, where the Panthers are forcing a ton of mistakes. They're forcing enough mistakes to capitalize, but they're not forcing as many mistakes as I would like them to force, given how banged up the Oilers are in terms of their defense. So in that regard, like, I believe there's an avenue here for the Oilers. I don't think it's likely. I don't think it's probable. I don't expect that this is going to go seven games. But I've said this before about the Oilers. I don't know that I want to bet against them either. That's why I picked them to win the series in seven. I don't know what it is. I can't qualify it. I can't quantify it. I just feel uneasy about the trajectory of this series. I just feel like for the Florida Panthers, you bring up what happened to them last year. You bring up how this has been an organization that over the course of time has been lambasted in a lot of different ways as a team that could never get it done. It took them forever just to win a playoff game, let alone a playoff series. And yet we're sitting here expecting that they're just going to close it out when they've never done it in their franchise's history. So I don't know if it's because the Oilers looked so dominant and so good in Game 4, or if I just have a lack of faith all of a sudden in Florida to get the job done, but I feel pretty uneasy going into this game.
I mean, I guess I understand why you would feel a little uneasy, but I want to remind you of something that transpired. You mentioned the Tampa Bay Lightning, and in 2022, they lost Game 2 to the Colorado Avalanche 7-0. They came back and made it a series. They didn't win the series, but they came back, you know, and made it a series. So, like, the history of a team getting crushed, at least recent history, I know that the North Stars lost 8-0 in Game 6 to the Penguins, and that was, I think that was a closeout game. But, like, the crazy thing is, I just don't know if I'm willing to say that I'm uneasy about it. I think Game 4 raised some eyebrows, certainly. But, like, I don't think that Florida I just didn't think they were engaged. I think they were fine that they won game three. And I think had they lost game three and they lost game four, I'd feel a lot less confident about them winning the series. I'd say, yeah, they're probably in a little bit of trouble. But the fact that they won game three, they've proven they can win in Edmonton. Edmonton has yet to prove that they could win in Florida. I just don't really think that I'm not that concerned about the Oilers coming back and winning this in seven. I mean, because even
look at that,
because you have to play three more perfect games. You mentioned that. You have to play three more games as good as you did in game four.
You have to play three perfect games or you have to get a bounce, right? Like, we just talked about game seven. Like, game seven can come down to a bounce. Like, you get into overtime.
So could game five
or six.
There's
no guarantees. And exactly. So it's an opportunity in front of the Florida Panthers. It is an opportunity for this team to win their first ever Stanley Cup championship. And Matthew Tkachuk is feeling good about their chances. We'll get into that next on the VGK Insider Show. VGK Insider Show rolls along here on a Tuesday. The Stanley Cup final resumes tonight, game five. Florida Panthers, Edmonton Oilers, puck drop in just about 50 minutes or so. So settle in, get ready for that. I do want to throw this out here to the text line, 702-876-1340. We are going to have a discussion in hour number two about Connor McDavid and the Conn Smythe Trophy. 702-876-1340, it's text line. How many games do the Oilers have to force in order for McDavid to legitimately be in the running for the Conn Smythe? Like, does tonight do it for you? Does McDavid and what he's been able to accomplish to this point, does that get it done for you? Is game five the game where you say, okay, Connor's actually in the running? Do they have to force a game six? Do they have to force a game seven? What do the Oilers have to do in terms of games forced in the Stanley Cup final for McDavid to legitimately be in the Conn Smythe running in a losing effort? In a losing effort. We're going to talk about that in hour number two. But first off, I want to get into this quote from Matthew Tkachuk because I think it's great, and I got to ask Chapman this question. Matthew Tkachuk said, quote, "We have a chance to go capture the biggest goal of our lives tonight. We're going to go do that," end quote. Is that as close to a Mark Messier guarantee as you're going to get in today's National Hockey League?
Yeah, I don't foresee him or any player. You know, it's just, I feel like over the last 25, 30 years since it's been 30 years since Mark Messier made that guarantee. I feel like, I feel like players have kind of lost the, I don't want to say edge because that's not the right word, but they've lost the personality, I guess, of going out there and saying things like that. I mean, even like in the NFL, you don't really see guys running their mouths. Oh, I guarantee. You know, the other thing is the whole guarantee thing has gotten so old because in the past you have had players making that guarantee, and then when their team loses, it's like, well. You didn't really guarantee anything because there was no, you lost, but it's not like you said it's like the old wrestling, you know, oh well, if I lose I'm going to retire. No, you don't risk anything by saying I guarantee this. But I feel like maybe it's because so many guys share the same agents, or you know, these guys work out together in the summers, or you know, they have friends on other teams in the day of free agency, that guys aren't willing to go out there and put their name and their face on something like that. They don't want to go out and rub the other team the wrong way. Like, I'm not a big believer in bulletin board material. Like, I said that the other day when we were talking about Chris Knobloch and you know, his comments. Like, yeah, I didn't think Paul Maurice was going to post that up on the wall in the locker room. Oh, he says they're going to beat us. They figured it out. Because I think if you need motivation like that at this point, you shouldn't be playing the game. But I just don't think that the league has cultured personalities enough to where you – like, Matthew Tkachuk seems like a cool guy. Like, he seems like a guy you probably wouldn't mind having a beer or two with and just, you know, talking about whatever. But you would never know that because the league doesn't really market these guys. The league doesn't put their personality on display. Now you've got guys on television, right? Like PK. I mean, PK had a little bit of a personality when he played, but now it really gets to shine because he's on TV. There's no risk for PK to have a personality in the game because he's not playing anymore.
Well, okay. Mark Messier's guarantee comes after he's won 5 Stanley Cups, right?
Or
he's won the Stanley Cup 5 times. Like, if Mark Messier goes out and says, we're going to win tomorrow, right? And then they lose, no one's going to sit there and be like, what a clown.
Yeah. Oh, that Mark Messier.
You know what
Messier.
I mean? Like, no one's going to hold that against Messier. Like, he had already won 5 times over. Like, no one's going to sit there and say, okay, he failed in this spot. Like, it'll be, okay, it's a captain trying to rally his troops, trying to make sure that everybody believes, and that's all that it is. For a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, who has not won anything yet in the National Hockey League, like, he hasn't won a Hart Trophy, he hasn't been an MVP, he hasn't done those things, crossed those boxes off, and hasn't won a Stanley Cup. Like, it's a lot more difficult in this spot for Matthew Tkachuk to come out and say, we're going to win the Stanley Cup tonight, right? Like, you're putting yourself way more out there than Messier did back in the day. However, I do think establishing that we have a chance to realize our dreams and we're going to do that, that's as close as you're going to get in today's NHL. And I think it's good that you have players that are putting that out there, right? Like, I want to know Matthew Tkachuk believes wholeheartedly that his team's going to win, so much so that he will say it as much in his pregame media availability. I think that that's a good omen for the Florida Panthers, that Tkachuk has that type of energy, that type of headspace going into the game. Until you've won, you're not going to put yourself out there as much as Mark Messier with 5 championships is going to. But I think it's a step in the right direction for the league to have players come out and say, yeah, we're going to win. I believe we're going to win. We're going to win. And not be afraid to put that out there.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Like, I think you bring up a really valid point with Messier in that he had won before. He had won multiple times. I just think it's a little bit different. And the thing is, it was a game 7. You're in New York, which is the media capital of the world. I mean, the Rangers hadn't won since 1940. And I understand the Panthers haven't won ever, but it's not quite the same thing.
No.
I mean, and listen, I grew up in that. That was my time. I was living in that world, surrounded by Ranger fans. Every time I turned on the television, it was the Rangers and the Knicks, because the Knicks were in the NBA final that year as well. Actually, yesterday was the 30-year anniversary of the O.J. Bronco chase, and they cut into the Knicks-Rocket NBA Finals game to show it. But it was that world, 1994. It was a long time ago, Ryan. I mean, you were a little kid. Like, I don't even know if you remember that series. Like, I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I remember the series, and I remember the O.J. chase for sure.
Yeah.
Like, those are two things I remember very, very vividly. As an 8-year-old.
And you were living in Southern California. You may have driven by your house, right? You don't even know it. But, you know, the thing is, like, it was just a different world in that the 1990s, 94. I mean, we were still coming out of like, the what was the movie with Michael Douglas? Where was it, Wall Street? Was that the – where you still had the Gordon Gekko? You know, it was still in the rearview mirror, so to speak. You could still see it. Where it was all about lavish styles and that kind of stuff was still a little bit at the forefront in the mid-90s. But, like, it's just a different situation. And I would have loved Matthew Tkachuk to be like, you know what, we're not getting on the plane tomorrow and going back to Edmonton. It ends tonight. Like, I would have loved to hear him say that.
Okay, well, like,
I know he kind of did in a roundabout way.
Well,
but
hold on. Here's the reason that I bring it up. And you've mentioned kind of your Sean Burke story, and throughout the season, you know, obviously the book "It Hurts to Win" had a lot of in-depth, behind-the-scenes type of stuff that was going on with the Golden Knights and through the locker room, all that stuff. And there have been a couple of times where Gary Lawless shared on the broadcast of games that it was after Game 4 where the Golden Knights were walking out of their hotel, and somebody in Florida was like, "Oh, we'll see you back here in a couple of days." And Mark Stone turns to them and says, and looks at the guy, and then says to his team, "Not a bleeping chance. Not a bleeping chance."
I love it.
And so my guess is that if the Florida Panthers get the job done tonight, there's going to be some type of story like that you see. And to my knowledge, to my recollection, when we were going through this last year, I don't remember anybody on the Golden Knights coming out and saying, "We're going to go out and win tonight." There was excitement. There was jubilation. There was an energy to the team where you believed it, where you felt it, where it was palpable. But Matthew Tkachuk is putting himself out there right now. And I believe, based on that quote from Matthew, he's going to have his best game of the series.
Well, he's going
to. That's another aspect of this. He's been quiet. And what you need, if you're a Florida Panther fan, is you need Matthew Tkachuk to dominate a game.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Like, you want to win a Stanley Cup, you need Matthew Tkachuk to be the best player on the ice for your team in that game. And I think, given what we just saw from Matthew, he's up to the task here.
Yeah, I think so. And you need a clean game from Matthew Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. Like, you need him engaged, like, physically. And being a pest.
He hasn't really done any, like, pest rat things.
I don't know. I mean, the video of him having McDavid in the headlock and kind of throwing a couple punches.
Connor threw a punch at him.
Yeah, and
on
like, I saw people, like, freaking out about it. It's like, it's the Stanley Cup final. Like, those things are going to happen. And listen,
yeah,
you brought it up. McDavid wasn't exactly innocent in that. So, I want that Matthew Tkachuk. I want him engaged like that, but I want him to stay out of the box. Mm-hmm. Like, I want Sam Bennett to stay out of the box. Like, no stupid penalties tonight. Like, nothing. No delay of game where you shoot the puck over the glass. Like, if you're gonna take a penalty, make it worth it. Like, clean somebody. Like,
sure.
Like, rattle their cage. Like, I don't want to see dumb penalties by the Panthers tonight, because they had a couple in the previous few games and it's kind of caught up to them. So tonight's going to be fun. I think it's going to be the best game in the series.
All right, we'll take a break. Set up hour number two next on the VGK Insider Show. Coming up in hour number two of the VGK Insider Show, we are going to answer the question, if Connor McDavid wins the Conn Smythe in a losing effort in the Stanley Cup Final, how many games do the Oilers have to force? Is he good here at 5? Do they have to force a game 6? Do they have to come all the way back and force a game 7 only to lose in game 7? Is that the only option for McDavid to win the Conn Smythe? Hit us on the text line 702-876-1340. Let us know where you stand on it. I threw a poll up on X as well at Ryan Hockey Guy. We'll dig into the results of that as well. I don't know if Chapman and I are going to see eye to eye on this, which is fine. Not a big deal. But I feel like we need to prepare ourselves for the idea that McDavid's going to win the Conn Smythe, win or lose. That's coming up next on the VGK Insider Show.